about our church. I think it's so cool. Yes, we know how to have a move of the Holy Ghost, but we also know how to let our hair down and have some fun. That was fun. That was really fun. Luke chapter 9. This is kind of dedicated now to the high stress. Two Saturday practices. Please cover Sister Amber in prayer. I know it was hard to leave little Ariana and be at church tonight. So I'm just letting her just do what she needs to do. But I don't know if I've ever seen her this stressed. So cover her in prayer. And I know there's many of you that's working with her, and so we so appreciate that. Luke 9, verse 51, and it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And I was studying this thing about the Samaritans and about Samaria. And if I remember this correctly, you had to actually go through Samaria coming and going to do what he was doing here. It was not like, oh, let's go over to... It's like the way that the geography was. He had to go through. But there was no love lost between the Samaritans and the Jews. And I even dug into that to discover that there had been this religious animosity. There's a history there, hundreds of years. Do you think if you had some bitterness, you got to work on it several hundred years, that you might come up with kind of like bitterness on steroids? It had a lot to do with different things, but they only accepted the Samaritans, the five first books of the law. They didn't accept the prophets. But they wanted to worship at the Jews' temple. And the Jews said, oh, no. Well, you're not coming to worship at our house. You're not even full-blown whatever you're supposed to be. You're only part. You're a part-timer. You're an SMO. Saturday morning only. Oh, you thought it was Sunday, didn't you? Okay. It's Jewish. You understand this? So, literally, they would not accept the rest of the Old Testament. It was just those five books. And so to a Jew that esteemed the word, that alone was offensive. And there were a whole lot of other things that had happened through the years, to the point where the Samaritans built, remember in John 4 when it says that you have your temple on Mount Gerizim and you have yours here in Jerusalem, and yet they built their own temple. Jews refused to let them worship with them. Wow. So there was a lot of hysterical and a lot of historical working. And you can see it in these verses. Watch what happens. Verse 52 again. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. Hundreds of years of animosity. Because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And that don't fly in Samaria. Oh, you're just coming through here. But your destination isn't here. It's your holy town of Jerusalem. I mean, this was like unlike probably anything you've ever been around. I dug into Albert Barnes, the scholar, his comments on what put this, and it's like, wow, that would be a separate message all by itself. It was so profound. Again, it took hundreds of years to get to this point of acid. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, now watch what happens here. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? Okay, now watch this. This is so, there's a lot of psychology in here. They took up his offense. But just one problem. Jesus wasn't offended. But they created their own offense out of a non-offense. You got to want to work with offenses to do that. Understand what I'm saying? So, see, the more I dug in this, I thought, oh, I've never seen this like this ever in my life. I've never really fully gotten this. I thought I sort of got it, but a lot of people are offended by secondhand problems, secondhand offenses. And if you could understand that the enemy sometimes doesn't come to you through your front door, he comes through a side window. He knows you got the door barred, but you don't have all the windows locked. And he'll come through somebody else's offense. You'll rent their offense, never was your business. And you'll rent their offense, and you'll pay a premium on that rental until the devil convinces you that you could lease to own. And make it your angry deal, which was never intentioned to be. He wasn't offended by that. You read this. Jesus wasn't offended, but his disciples were offended by the way he was treated by the Samaritans. Now, sometimes we have to sort our lives out and figure this out, because I've been around people that if you didn't hate the same people they hated, they didn't like you. You ever been around somebody like that? Dude, is that like heavy? Like what? Like, huh? That's the truth. And I refuse. See, I stopped to talk to the drug dealer in my neighborhood. People are very angry at him. And I, frankly, at times I've been sort of like not happy with him. But the Lord dealt with me. I want you like this. Like, I want you to love him. Not based on their rendition of him to you, because you need your own rendition. So I want you to love him with my love. See, not be angry with him because of what he does, because that's what you'd be doing too if I hadn't changed you. Something along this line. Does that make sense? So I'm pulling out, and I caught him on the edge of his property there, and he had a little puppy. Of course, any animals. My Cherokee accent, I'm going to get around animals, you know. If I don't have a soft heart, I do at that point. And so he's talking to me, and he was so, I'd never met him. No, he was so kind. You see, I had this rendition of him that my angry neighbors gave me free. Watch out for that free stuff sometimes. It's not always as free as you think. It might cost you to receive it, even though it's free. And he was outgoing, and he was almost charismatic. I mean, there was like personality, and he blew my mind because I had preconceived notions. Yes, see, it's not just the gospel to the nations, it's the gospel that can flow through the notions. And sometimes we're trying to get to the nations, but the notions cut us off from the nations. I've never said that in my life, never heard it that way, never thought of it that way. But this is what's happening. Because we rented somebody else's offense, we're suffering. God's not answering our prayers because we rented somebody else's secondhand offense. Wow. Yeah, wow. And so the master's heart is so beautiful. Lord, should we call down fire from heaven and consume them as, and they took the prophet Elijah and they threw him under the wheels, the tires. Just like sometimes people, when they get angry, they throw the pastor or a spiritual leader, not necessarily me, but it could be a spiritual leader, you know, under the bus. Real quick, they saw in his face that he was not happy with them. So then they grabbed somebody else and let them be like the decoy, you know, like, okay, let's let all, you know, let's let it be channeled a little bit. I can see he's not happy with us. Let's let him, let's mention Elijah, what he did. how he called fire down. But not there's a couple of stories in the Bible, but let me tell you about the one that you and I probably remember. You may be seated. That's when he called fire down in 1 Kings 18. He didn't call it down on people. He called it down on the sacrifice. You know what would really make you toast is when you went to brag on your sacrifice and the fire of God already burned it up. You got nothing to point to. Hang on, Jack. I'm going to cover the list. I want to start with the sacrifice. Because we can come out of that Sunday seeing, and I don't think we'd do this. I don't think there's a person here that, but I mean, sometimes in life, we can get kind of high on us because of our sacrifices. But the fire, the scripture says, the Bible tells us that when the fire fell, it burned up the sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you the other things that it burned up. It burned up the wood. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get any splinters in your hands? I used to get splinters, and oh my God, my mom would take a needle. She looked like a surgeon general with that needle. And she'd get that match. I felt like I was going to get branded. Oh, Jack, Dr. Kildare, slow down, honey child. I don't want major surgery for a splinter. Please, please. And then she'd get it all hot, you know, to get real black on the end.
Yeah.
For you. Forget it, man. She should have been a nurse or a doctor. But she was sterilized in the needle. She was killing the germs before surgery. Sometimes that's why God toasts us. Because he's killing germs before the surgery. Because we rented some secondhand bitternesses. You wouldn't do that, would you? Oh, sure. See, that's the whole deal about Samaritans and the Jews. And that's why there's a whole lot of craziness going on here. Because they had good memories. Hundreds of years of just absolute bizarre bad attitudes. Jesus didn't participate, though. You read this story, he wasn't ticked. He's the one that it should have been set up with. You see, he is that impeccable God-man. He is that man, capital M, that God-man, capital G, capital N, who was the perfect example of what you do when you're in these crazy situations. You just love people and bless people and forgive people. Mm-hmm. But his disciples, let's call down. See, I want to talk to you about angry letters never sent. That's what I want to talk to you about, angry letters. And to do that, okay, let's finish out this precious word here. So, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Even as Elias or Elijah did. Verse 55, but he turned, now watch this, and rebuked them. I got to believe that when the Christ rebuked you, you felt it from your toes to your dandruff. If you had any, the dandruff was leaving at that point. And said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Like, I'm not bothered. I get this. I got this. I'm fine. I am unoffended. Why are you so ticked off? Because they borrowed secondhand something that never belonged to them. That will do us in because it comes in a side door, comes in a side window. We didn't expect it. We thought it would come through the door, came through, come up from the basement and confronted us. If we are not, listen, if we are not in the business of forgiveness, we are in the wrong business. And you can be, this is so true, it is so true, you can be in a church that had a major forgiveness revival again and again and again and never step into it and let it operate in you. When's the last time you walked into a garage and you became a car? Okay. When's the last time you walked into this beautiful Grove City Library? Love going over there. But when I walk in, I don't become a book. See, walking into a church don't make you a Christian. Walking into a sanctuary doesn't make you godly. It's not geographical. Okay, it's not about geography or topography. It's about having a breathing, living relationship with the resurrected Messiah. Lift your hands, let's love on him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, God. I praise you, God. Wonderful Jesus. I give you praise. Give us understanding. Let somebody get a hold of this today, Lord. And go to town. Go to work. Hallelujah. Take their shovels and dig out some ashes and throw some stuff away that we don't need going into Easter weekend, because he wants to do a purifying work. He wants to do a sanctifying work. And I can't rent your anger. I can't borrow your bitterness. I've got to live for God myself. Oh, praise God. Let's just love on him a little bit. Wonderful Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. Help us, Jesus, to be honest with the Holy Ghost and honest with our own hearts. You can be right. You know, walk into a grocery store. I love going to a grocery store. I lost 3.6 pounds last week. Yeah. 3 weeks in a row, I lost 3 point so many pounds because I put myself under discipline again. So the rest of us are doing that. I'm hearing good things, but my clothes are getting loose. I mean, it's awesome. Just stopping the weight gain is miraculous for me because I'm a snacker. Yeah. So one of my favorite historical characters, I love history, is Abraham Lincoln. And he had his hands full with some very arrogant generals during the Civil War. They were very arrogant. As a matter of fact, he said to one of them that was sort of proceeding to lose the war for the North if he kept him in his office, he said, "Mr. Meade, if you don't mind, could I borrow the army since you're not doing anything with it?" The sweetest, isn't that sweet? Just so sweet. Would you mind if I borrow? Lincoln was a praying man, truly. Do you know why he didn't belong to organized religion? I thank you for that book, by the way. Lincoln's Battle with God. Did you know that Lincoln was dealt with and witnessed to by apostolics? Mm-hmm. Do you know why he did not belong to organized religion? Because he saw so much hypocrisy and a flesh show. And carnality, even though he'd been a custodian in a church in his teen years, he didn't want to belong to that kind of craziness. It's the truth. He had a prayer life. And there are stories of him lying on his face in the Oval Office, praying, weeping, and asking God to save the Union, which is exactly what he did. But when he had to deal with some of these aficionados, these arrogant generals, oh, not all of them were that way, but a few of them were. And so he would compose what he called a hot letter, angry letters, never sent. And he would pile all of his anger into that letter. Doris Kearns Goodwin once explained on NPR, he would then write on that letter, "Never sent, never signed." And in doing so, he used a technique that others, even people like Mark Twain, other people of note through the centuries, especially the last few hundred years, have taken that same technique and used it to kind of produce a catharsis. And I want to describe this to you. This is not in my terms, Lincoln was hardly unique among public figures who need to think twice about their choice of words. The unsent angry letter has a venerable tradition. Its purpose is twofold. It serves as a type of emotional catharsis, a way to let it all out without the repercussions of true engagement. And it acts as a strategic catharsis and exercise in saying what you really think, which provided unallowable frankness and freedom. Angry letters that were never sent. I had the joy to go to Bible college. It was one of the great experiences of my life, and we're so proud of our Bible school kids and our college kids. They're not all, it's not all Bible college, but we have some college kids, don't we? These guys were youth leaders to one precious young lady up there in Talmadge that usually sits right around them when she's here with us in church. And by the way, God's visited her and gave her some deliverance here just a few weeks ago when we preached about deliverance and spiritual warfare. And I know everybody doesn't understand that nor believe it, but I'm not going to stop preaching it because I find it, just a little coincidence here, I find it in my Bible, you know. Whatever that means. I mean, you know, whether you get it or nobody gets it, it's still in the Word. And if you'll go to the Word and look it up, it's in there. And we preach it with symmetry. We preach it with balance and without apology. Come on. I know. I understand. And there are some places of the country, I could tell you some right now, some of you have been there of late, where they had the latter splatter, the latter rain. And so they're like hyper, you know, against anything that might remind them of it. This is not ladder splatter. This is not ladder rain. It's called Holy Scriptures. In my name, read it. It's in the Great Commission. I want to say it again. You don't. I don't. We don't have the authority to edit the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission in Mark 16? In my name shall they cast out devils. That's the first thing mentioned. We make it the last thing and maybe not mention it at all. But in Mark 16, it's the first thing. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's part of the great. Come on now. Is that in your Bible? It's in my Bible. Come on. We don't have to apologize for the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Oh, let's love God. There's a touch of Jesus on us. I'm almost done because I told you I wasn't going to go long. That fire that fell burned up the stones. You understand the rocky places in our heart. When the fire falls, all the rocks, all the rocky places in our attitudes, in our spirits, that fire burned up the stones. That water burned up. Yeah, the water got fried. It was gone, but here's something else it burnt and totally took care of. The dust and the dirt. Because see, the answer to your dirt and dust isn't a psychologist. It's the fire of God. I'm going to tell you what, I've gone to the altar full of junk and I've left there like a new man, like a child, like a teenager on fire because the Holy Ghost, Brother Welch, came down and burned up my junk. Yes. Come on, let's have revival on a Wednesday night. Let's have revival on a Wednesday night. We need old-time revival. We need old-time fire falling. The answer to a lot of our craziness is for the old-time fire of God to fall. And you take that letter and stick it in your desk and don't send it. Because you'll live to regret it. Write that crazy letter, but just don't send it. Because if you do, you'll be paying the postage the rest of your life. Angry letters. Never sent.
Thank you, Lord, for the word.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to rent your anger. And I'm not going to borrow their bitterness. He wasn't offended. He expected them, since they were with him, to follow suit. Instead, they picked up an offense that was never supposed to be theirs to begin with. Anybody see it? I'm almost done. Never throw the baby out with the bathwater. We got some great munchkins. Great kids. Hey, the bathwater gets sudsy. The bathwater looks murky. Might be gators in there. Who knows? At least plastic ones. Oh, give them credit too. But don't get upset at the baby because the water's dirty. See, we get upset at people when it's our environment we could change. There's stuff that we can change that won't hurt nobody but help us. He said, you don't even know. Hey, you cats. We'll have to sort of use Jeffrey. You cats in the cheap seats up there. I want God to show up here on the weekend. We need that old time Pentecostal fire to fall. Hallelujah. Save the baby. In Bible school, they taught us, when you walk into these impossible situations, when you walk in and they're fighting and there's yelling and craziness going on, always work to save the pieces. He said, for the Son of Man has come to save, not condemn the world, but to save. Always work to save the situation. Not amplify it, not make it worse, not escalate it, save it. Do something, say something kind, warm, forgiving, and bring it down to a redemptive level. Yeah. Lift your hands. Oh, I'm going to tell you what, I feel some Holy Ghost in the house. I feel some Holy Ghost in the house. Woo! I wish somebody get up and dance if you think I might be talking about something we need to hear a little bit once in a while. Do you think God might be in this? Do you think God would like to show up here on Sunday? He loves coming on Wednesdays as well. I want that old time fire. I want old time Pentecost. I want to see his power. I want to see him open the eyes of the blind and cause the crippled to skip like a calf in the field. Woo! Oh, hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Woo! Brother Thad, if you would play for us, I promise I wouldn't preach long or teach long. Save. Always work to save the situation. Watch your mouth. Watch your heart. Don't do something in anger. Don't say it. Even if you think you're right, don't even go there. Don't say it. You'll be sorry you said it, even if you were right. Because what you say, the kind of spirit that you have when you say something matters to God. Nathaniel Urshan died a few years ago, one of my heroes. Persian through and through. Scary man. When you got around him. But really a great man. He'd come in and he was like a walking archives of stories. You know what I mean? Nathaniel Urshan. He said when his dad was pastoring in New York City, Nathan at that time was such a smart aleck. one of the greatest preachers we've ever had, but at that point in his life, he was sort of a smart aleck. And his dad said, told him he was coming with him to prayer that morning. And so he didn't want to go with him, but you didn't say no to Andrew Bar David Urshan, who was more Persian than his son was. So I've heard him tell the story. So his dad gets down at the altar, and pastoring in the, you know, Big Apple, and Nathaniel sits over here somewhere, and he heard his dad pray this prayer, and he'd seen miracles happen when his dad prayed the way that he could pray. He'd seen healings, people, thousands receive the Holy Ghost. He said, "God, if he's not going to serve you, kill him." He's up here. "Don't you do it, God, don't you. Please, don't kill me, please, please." I'm serious. And he's doing, "Lord, I'm telling you, if this kid is not going to serve you, I want you to kill him today." "God, don't you dare." "Please, God," under his breath, "please, Lord, don't you do it." That's where I think he actually turned around. When he heard that his dad was willing to lose him rather than watch him live in rebellion before his face. Lift your hands. Come on now. Let's soften the lights and let's just take a few moments. Ho, ho, ho. Itara masha karabasa ti ombro mo. I love you, Jesus. I love you, God. I love you. I worship you, Lord. Oh, would to God we could fill this altar up with people that understand. We've got to be ready for Easter. We've got to be, it's not, and thank God for all the practices, but I've got to have my heart right. I've got to have my attitude right. I've got to come with the right spirit. I've got to be clean and pure. I've got to have an excellent spirit that it says of Daniel that he had an excellent spirit. Oh Lord, I want that kind of spirit. Oh God, I don't want to rent somebody's offense. I don't want to step into some history of bitterness. I want to serve the Lord. I want to bless his name. I want to come with an anointing. Lift your hand with me. I want to come with an anointing. I want to come with the touch of God on my life. I don't want to show up at the house of God and not really be genuinely Pentecostal, not really be right inside, not really, really be close to you, Lord. I worship you. I give you praise, God. Let him shine a light in your heart. He loves you. Let him help you. Let him step into that pain. Let him step into that trauma. Oh, don't you dare give it to somebody else. Don't tempt somebody to pick up your bitterness. Don't tempt somebody to rent your orneriness. Oh, Jesus, wash me. Wash us in the blood. Wash us in the blood. Wash us. Wash us. Wash us in the blood. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, let our hearts be right. Let our attitudes be so redeemed and so redemptive and so purified by the grace of God and the love of Jesus. Oh, let me look at people and see them as breathing, living, breathing pieces of eternity that need to feel your power when they come into this building on Sunday, Lord. Woo! Let the Spirit of God pray in you right now. Would you do it? Would you let the Holy Ghost pray in you right now? You can lay something at this altar. You can lay something at this altar and say, I'm done. I am done. I am not going to talk about that anymore. I am not going to deal with that anymore. I am not going to rehearse that anymore. I am not going to complain about that anymore. I am not going to make that an issue any longer. I judge it. I put it at the altar. I leave it there. I place it under the blood. Woo! Sharenge monsakandardo lo sobrege. He said, you don't know. You don't pick up on your rotten attitude. You don't pick up on your bad spirit. You don't get it. Oh, he had no problem. He was unoffended. Hallelujah. He loved them. Some of the earliest revival in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8 happened in Samaria. Oh, praise God. He poured out the Holy Ghost. They brought Peter and John down and laid hands on people. Aaron, they started getting the Holy Ghost. There was great joy. Demons came out of people. No apologies. Demons came out of people in Samaria. Woo! A visitation of God in Samaria. Yeah. He didn't trip over little junk. Not the living Christ, but his disciples did. Oh my. Help me, Jesus. Turn around and pray with somebody. Would you do that right now? I said I'd go short. Here we go. Wrapping it up. Thank you, God, for a great night. Thank you for the touch of Jesus in the house. I judge my attitude. I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to be merciful to people. I want to be merciful. I want to love people like you love them, Lord. I want to forgive and be forgiven. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Woo! Burn up the rocks with your fire, Lord. Burn up the dust and the dirt with your fire, Lord. Burn up the sacrifice so we have nothing to brag about. Woo! Lift your hands with me. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this house. Oh, and I know. It's the presence of the Lord. Oh, there's a sweet presence. Lord Jesus, work in us. We want you. We desire you. We know that if we could come with tender hearts, if we could come with praying hearts, if we could come with spiritual hearts, Lord, on Saturday and Sunday, I believe that you would match us. Hallelujah, that we would set the thermostat in the Holy Ghost. That we would set the thermostat in the Holy Ghost. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. Go ahead and pray like your youth leader. Amen. Let them inspire precious young people. Go ahead and pray like Josh Sandy knows how to pray. I love to give him the microphone not only when he's preaching, but when he's praying, because he loves to pray. This church is a prayer culture. This church is a prayer culture. We're also becoming an encouragement culture. Hallelujah. I want it to also become a revival culture. I hunger for that old time power, that old time fire that fell and burnt junk up. Woo! Love you, Jesus. You can do this. He's with you. You can do this. Some of you could hand out 5 of these or 10 of these. I don't know, but God will bless you and you're going to be bringing people. Hallelujah. That's just the first little piece of my message, but I promised you I'd go short. So I'm going to tell you this. True story. I was pastoring in Virginia, beautiful rolling hills, you know, Shenandoah, the whole 9 yards, as the cement people would say. The Blue Ridge Mountains that were so picturesque, it sometimes would look like when I would go out to pray, like I was looking up at a gigantic painting. They were so gorgeous. I would get up on the Blue Ridge Mountains ridge and drive slow and pray. Drive down the mountains and pray. Always looking for places to pray. Never happy with myself, because the more I pray, the more I feel like I should have prayed even better, deeper. Quality and quantity. Never really quite happy with myself. But I'm in pursuit, at least. And I was out of town on, I think it was a preaching trip. And so I called back to just tag in with my wife and always let her know where I am. If I'm on a preaching trip, the church is going to know where I am, where I'm preaching. I'm not going to go dark for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't believe that that's right for a pastor or for people that are on trips just to go dark and disappear. And we don't hear from you till you show up again. Understand what I'm saying? I want my people to know what church I'm in, who I'm preaching for. Pray for us, and then I'm trying to stay under that burden for my hometown and my home church. I can try to carry 2 churches at once. This gentleman, and I use the term very loosely, he was a musician. And keep our musicians in prayer. We have some of the most awesome. Do we not have some of the most awesome musicians? A lot of, Brother Thad wouldn't say this, I'm sure, but a lot of pressure, like when they walk up to you and say, you're playing now in services. Some of us know what that feels like, don't we, Sister Tiff? you're on for the next 6 years, you know, you're playing. I don't think you'd ever done it before then. Okay, I'm not trying to be ornery, I'm just saying this. Just saying. Anyway, he was a very gifted musician. But deep down, below that church dress shirt that he wore, had a lot of darkness, a lot of, I don't know how to describe it. And he was in some kind of, he did work around town, and we would get reports of people who were upset with him about the way that he did his business. Put me in a real predicament, you know. How do I deal with this man? I just kind of kept praying about it. Didn't know quite how to approach it. And while I'm out of town, he calls my wife. And for 2 hours, he downloads every negative thing he can think of or create in his mind on her for 2 hours. Now, let me tell you what happens to people like that where I come from. Where I come from. They either hang them from a cottonwood, or they sort of like do things to them that kind of motivates them to never do that again. You know, like they can't find their tongue, somebody, you know. Just different things. They can't walk, they can't think, they can't talk. They're in this little hospital recovering for 80 years from 16 men who gave them their just due. There's something about our church that I deeply love, and I don't think I've ever told you this, but if I even tease about my wife, and I could give you an example, but I won't, but I did it, and when I when I said my little tease, you were on me like white on rice. Did you say that about the first lady? And I'm back. She's so cute. She's so sweet. She's so beautiful. I was just teasing. I'll tell you what I'm learning is don't even tease about it. Because I want to get out of here alive. That's how much you love her. And you're protective of her. But this man, Mr. Wise Guy, when he got done, I just can't even believe he tried that. So when I called her, and we had not pastored, you know, I mean, we not pastored in a long time. She could barely talk to me. She could barely hold a conversation. She was so broken. So sometimes we're so delicate and fragile, the smallest little something that we're perceived to have done, which might be a bunch of beans, a bunch of bologna sliced thin so you can look through it and see it's ridiculous. No, the bologna has to be thin for you to see through it. Sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to recover here in the next couple of days, so pray for me. But anyway, you know what kind of a queen she is, and she loves you. You don't even know how much she loves you. I'm serious. I know she says, but you don't know. I thought, can't wait till I get home, because I'm going to get my Jim Bowie knife out. Dude, I've got a knife that can skin a moose and not lose its edge. I'm serious, I do. They built it for me in Alaska. I am going to have me, and I would give you his name, but I'll save him the honor. I'm going to skin him from Dan to Beersheba. And tell him, don't you ever, capital E, capital V, capital E, capital R, don't you ever, if you want to stay alive, try that again. Watch this. So I come home. And man, oh man, so. I got to praying about it, and the Lord wouldn't release me to beat him up. I said, "Now, Lord, that ain't right. Dude," as my daughter would say, "dude, just let me at him. I could rough him up." What? Thank you, Rush Limbaugh. One hand tied behind my back. And I continued to pray, and it's like God started working in me. And I prayed days. I prayed weeks. Now watch this. He said, "You don't know what manner of spirit you're of. Certainly not one of my disciples should ever want to bring fire down. Not on people, because you want to save the pieces, you see." Yeah. And I prayed. I prayed days. I prayed weeks. He never let me even bring it up to him. Never did. Never did. You know, if we, you know what we do? We just play wide open, shoot from the hip, and then pay a price because we didn't take a few days to pray it through. I never even mentioned it to him, ever. That weren't me. That was the effect of prayer. Praying and praying and praying till my whole concept of what happened changed. I'm serious. I challenge you to take something and pray like that about it. Pray through. Don't just pray around it. Don't stay in the kiddie pool. Don't worry, you ain't gonna drown. Don't stay in the kiddie pool. The ocean is beckoning. There are levels of prayer. There are levels of prayer that would blow your mind. And every once in a while, they break out here because God is trying to say, over this way, there's an ocean of forgiveness. There's an ocean of grace. There's an ocean of mercy. If you could just pray beyond that little swimming pool and get out here in the deeps. Ooh, lift your hand and hearts as we... Oh my. Eta carisia andalo prosandaro bosha taraboshenda rambambros otoro moche. Angry letters never sent. Ooh, angry letters never sent. Don't even send it. Put it in the desk. Ooh, don't sign it. Because if you do, you'll be paying the postage the rest of your life. Ooh, don't send it. Just write it and hide it away somewhere. I feel like the Holy Ghost is helping us. He's helping us. Let's get rid of some stuff. You might want to run down this altar in closing. I don't know. I know you're precious. And I'm just telling you what happened to me. I ain't proud of myself, but I am thankful that the Lord just kept me praying until I prayed it through, and I never felt right about practicing martial arts on a guy that deserved it. As far as I know, he's still living for God. I saw his wife at Ember's funeral. Sister Carolyn, she was so sweet and precious. Hallelujah. Shall we stand? Was it okay to talk to us like this a little bit? Love you guys. I let you see my heart. I see myself in these words. You want us to call fire down from heaven? What? He could have said this. I'm not offended. Why are you? It's me that's getting third degree treatment here, and I'm not offended at all. Brother Urshan sent Nathan, if I remember this right, Nathaniel as a kid, a teenager, to answer the door, and at the door was Mean Joe Green, the guy that had created so much havoc for his church, and Nathaniel knew it, and Nathan wanted to just tell him off. And his daddy, Andrew Bar David Urshan, had him come on in and fixed breakfast for him. This man had said crazy stuff, had been a terrible, terrible person in that church in New York City. And Brother Urshan Sr. treated him like a celebrity and let him leave out when he needed to go, but fed him and fellowshipped him and blessed him. And Nathan Urshan learned something about the heart of God and the work of God. Come on, Sister Metis, close out. You're beautiful to me times a thousand.
Lord, we just thank you for understanding. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your heart shared. Go with us, we pray. Let our hearts melt in your presence that we might be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.